Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 44 through 48, 1 John, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 9 through 17, and Psalm 98.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday morning, I was taking my dog to the veterinarian. We are frequent visitors. Sweet Pea is quite elderly by dog standards. By human years, she'd be well over 100. And she's definitely experiencing some of those challenges of aging that all of us might experience if we have the gift of leading a long life. Once we arrived at the vet and I went to get her out of the car, I could see that she had just had an accident in the back seat. And in my effort to lift her out and to keep her as clean as possible, the degree of mess spread because she was not finished. So now, not only was Sweet Tea pretty messy, but the parking lot was also pretty messy. My veterinarian and their staff are wonderful beyond measure. And this was not our first rodeo arriving in this way. So I hand off Sweet Pea so she can be cleaned up before her appointment. And they hand me the sanitizer and the paper towels that have become our ritual. I return to clean the car and do the best I could on the parking lot. So I'm outside and very focused in my own little world of doggy mess cleanup. In recent months, I feel like I've become actually very skilled. And it's early, and there are almost no other cars in the parking lot, certainly none near us. And during the cleanup, I even spray the parking lot, trying to minimize any mess that will be created for other people. Finally, I stand up and turn around, and to my surprise, I am no longer alone. There are two adult geese and six little ones, and they're only about 7 or 8 feet from me. I am enchanted. I am enchanted. The warm golden glow of the little ones in that early morning sun, and the two adults keeping a close eye, herding them along. I turn back and my parking lot cleanup intentions have changed. I want to make sure that there is no chemical residue which could be harmful to these creatures. And the geese come closer as they peaceably walk by. I have this very strong sense that my resigned, determined expression when I had entered the vet has now changed to one of delight. I don't know about you all, but I feel like I've had more than the usual number of encounters with geese this spring. Maybe you've had that experience too. Frequently, as they're crossing a road, say on Ridge Avenue, or in Jewish Hospital's parking lot, or in Amberley Village, and if I don't see them immediately, and I'm behind other cars, I will find that I'm experiencing considerable frustration. Why are these people not moving? I tend to cut my timing short, and why is this car stopped? And then feeling very sheepish to realize that this car has stopped to allow some geese to waddle past. And frustration turns to appreciation at the other driver's respect for these geese and for tending of God's creation, including the waddling ones. That's not to say all geese meetings are positive. We've all had some geese meetings that maybe were a little bit more aggressive or hostile, but that's for another day. It is the same phenomena, though, that anytime we are so tunnel-focused, whether for me it was on that cleanup in the parking lot or getting someplace on time, that I miss the larger picture. It's very easy to miss the larger picture. And when something calls us to that larger picture, it is really a gift to change our perception, our engagement with the world. Today's gospel from John offers some very familiar words. But during Wednesday's noon Bible study, we found ourselves noticing some shifts in perspective in these brief verses. In every lesson, there's always the opportunity to look deeper. There's always more. Love one another. We have heard these words from Jesus so much and in so many ways, and I feel safe in saying you hear them every Sunday in this place. Love one another is so foundational to our understanding of God, of Jesus, of our relationship with the Trinity and each other. In a commentary, David Cunningham was pointing us to Augustine and helping us understand the nature of the Trinity. He describes God as the lover, the beloved, and the love that unites them. The lover, the beloved, and the love that unites them. That felt so akin to Jesus' opening words in today's gospel. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And a few lines later, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus tells us and tells us again of the circle of love and commands us love one another. With this reading, as powerful and compelling as the words are, I found myself looking beyond them to the countless times Jesus shows us what this love looks like. Love one another. With Jesus, I recall the quote attributed to Emerson, although it has been somewhat shortened along the way. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you say. If we look past Jesus' words to his actions and to the broader perspective his actions always invite us to, we might have a deeper understanding of how Jesus lives his words of love. A few stories earlier in John immediately come to mind. We might consider Jesus' conversations with the Pharisee named Nicodemus, who seemed to be only willing to come to Jesus under the cover of night. Nicodemus was able to see Jesus in a narrower perspective as a teacher sent by God. And he had questions for Jesus. Jesus didn't answer Nicodemus's questions directly and instead challenged him with some questions of his own. But Jesus spent time with Nicodemus, meeting him where he was in his belief, inviting him to go deeper, broader in his understanding of the Spirit, of God, of the Son of God, of God's love. We might think of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, who Jesus asks for a drink of water. The woman initially has a very narrow view of Jesus. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? But Jesus continues to engage with this woman, overlooking the obstacles and without recriminations, but with truth-telling and an invitation for her to choose a different path, the living water that Jesus offers. And she makes this choice and tells others of the encounter, this encounter with a man who knew all about her past and present and yet offered her this path. Jesus offers her a fresh beginning, living water, God's love. A poignant story, and one closer to Jesus' inner circle, is when Jesus receives word of his friend Lazarus' illness, and then, shortly after, receives word of Lazarus' death. In encountering Martha and Mary, he is present to their grief and even to their recriminations. Jesus, if you had been here. While Jesus knows the larger picture here and that he will raise Lazarus from the dead, he still is touched by Martha and Mary's suffering. Jesus weeps as well. These are people who are friends, people he knows and loves. He is present to their suffering, and soon will be widening their understanding and be rejoicing in God's love. In each of these stories, Jesus is present to the individuals regardless of circumstances or customs. He engages them, meets them where they are, speaks the truth to them without judgment, and in the process, opens their worlds to a greater understanding of possibility, a greater understanding of God, of love. In our gospel today, Jesus tells his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus chose these people who would become closest to him, not for their wealth, their power, or influence, but likely, possibly, maybe he saw something in them. Something prompted him, maybe a possibility, a potential. Maybe he saw their longing for something more. Perhaps a connection. Perhaps he knew somehow he could touch their hearts. He didn't choose them by the world's narrow view. He saw them as they were and saw in them who they might become. He invited them to come, to follow, as he invites us to come and to follow. We know the invitation was so much more than these disciples might have initially perceived, than we might initially perceive. The invitation is to love. And Jesus showed them in the way he engaged with them and with others every day. Jesus engages with acceptance, with presence, with honesty and vulnerability, with forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus embodies love in his life as almost a divine tutorial on what it might mean for us to answer yes to this commandment to love one another. Jesus says to his disciples, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." Jesus is vulnerable with these people, these individuals he has come to know and hold so dearly. He speaks the truth of the suffering he is to endure, even when they do not want to hear it. He asks their presence as the hour approaches. And when almost all of them fail him, he does not fail them. After his resurrection, Jesus returns to these disciples without accusation or recrimination. His very presence, the gift of forgiveness, reconciliation, love. And Jesus speaks to his disciples in today's gospel. He speaks to them of joy. "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Joy isn't the first word that comes to my mind when I think of Jesus. I think of his sacrifice. I think of his suffering. I think of his miracles. I think of his steadfastness. I always think of love. But joy might be experienced as peace, as calm, as grace. Peace and calm and grace that are available to us regardless of the circumstances. Perhaps it is more accessible as we are able to shift our perspective from the immediate moments that we might experience of worry, of fear, of grief, feeling overwhelmed or frustrated. If we shift our experience to the wider world around us, to God's creation, to Jesus, to love. We might say, and I have said many a time, "Well, all this is fine for Jesus, but we're not Jesus, we're human." Yes, and yes, we're not Jesus, and we're human. And we also have choices as humans in every day, in every moment. We can choose a narrow view, being totally focused on the problem at hand. Or we can choose to engage a broader view, not losing sight of what needs tending, but allowing ourselves to see beyond the obstacles or need or distraction, to see the broader context of God's creation, of God's presence, God's love. Might we find rest in this space? Might we find rest, even delight, in Jesus' joy, in Jesus' love. Amen.